7 second delay is no more. We've done this a couple of times before. Well-dressed fancy dandies with Ken and Andy. Yes, the Marcus Brody Trio wins the Well-Dressed Fancy Dandies theme song contest. Congratulations, Marcus Brody Trio. That's what you're hearing in the background. And it was very difficult to choose a winner. It was not so difficult to rule out the orchestrated email voting campaign that took place, though. That was easy. Tonight, we bring you two new listener quizzes from listeners Greg and listener Evan. The topic of the two quizzes is fictitious bands and bird calls. And Andy and I are looking for more listeners to give us quizzes. We record them on Monday afternoons and Thursday afternoons. If you have knowledge on any arcane topic whatsoever, please drop me an email, ken@wfmu.org. We just need 10 questions and half an hour of your time over Zoom to do a successful quiz. Now here we begin two new quizzes, starting off with listener Greg. This is Well-Dressed Fancy Dandies with Ken and Andy, and with us today is listener Greg Schiegel, who's going to be giving us a quiz. Welcome, Greg.
I believe it's pronounced Grog. I believe it's pronounced Grog Schiegel.
I'll take it.
Grog Schiegel. I think it's Greg Schiegel, Andy. I'm pretty sure.
Well, there's no way to settle that now.
Well, we have him on the phone with us.
Oh, yes. You're right. The authority himself. You're right.
I could settle this and sort it all out. But, you know.
Greg, where are you calling in from?
I'm in the Atlanta area in Georgia.
Ken, are you? Did you get a little a preview of the topic of what our quiz is about today?
I did, but I've already forgotten what the quiz is about. So
I'm happy to fill you guys in.
Yeah, tell us, Greg.
At some point, by the third or fourth question, I'm sure we'll divine it ourselves.
I could just start asking questions without reveal. That could be an extra level to the quiz.
That would be amazing. Why don't you do that?
Yeah, let's do that.
That would be amazing.
So, Greg, we have no idea what the topic is going to be. But
don't tell us until the first question.
Yeah, you should give us then 10 questions. Is that usually how it works?
Oh, by question 8 or 9, I'm pretty sure I'll have an idea. But Ken, even before we hear the first question, you and I should settle on the ground rules.
Well, Greg, is this going to be a multiple choice quiz?
So for all questions but the first one, I have an option for multiple choice. I figure we ask the question, see if you can get it without multiple choice. If you need multiple choice, I have multiple choices available.
That sounds good. We need multiple choice.
I think if we can answer the question without the multiple choice option, that should be worth 3 points, don't you think?
Okay.
And then if we need the multiple choice option, that should be worth 1 point.
Okay.
Okay.
And do we yell buzz?
Oh, wait. Oh, I have a buzzer.
I don't have
a buzzer.
Do you have
a buzzer?
No, I don't.
Oh, that'll give me a huge advantage during the gameplay.
And then, Ken, are you keeping score?
You can't,
or should I?
You can't buzz in.
I'll be keeping score, Greg.
No, okay. This is a gimme. This is the advantage I need. Ken doesn't have a buzzer.
No, I can make a buzzing sound with my mouth, Andy, which is much faster than what you can do with your mechanical buzzer.
Let me hear your buzzing sound.
Buzz.
That's pretty good.
No delay. When I want the buzz, it's there.
All right. You know what? I'll do it manually also. I'll just say ding, ding, ding.
Perfect.
That'll be my sound. So we have two different sounds. So, Greg, you will not only be asking the questions, but you will also have to be the scorekeeper, and you will also have to be our referee.
All right. Although Ken said he was keeping score.
I said I was keeping score, but
fine,
that's okay.
Who cares? It doesn't matter. Greg, and before we begin, I'd love to just hear a thumbnail sort of portrait of yourself. You're in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Today is a weekday. What should you be doing today? What would you be doing if you weren't on the air with us?
I am, in my regular life, a freelance illustrator and cartoonist.
So wow.
Oh, wait, I've seen your work, haven't I?
You have, yes.
Oh, my gosh, I'm a huge fan. Oh, my gosh.
We go way back, Andy.
We do go way back.
Wait, how?
No, you've been... I've actually employed Greg. I believe I've hired him.
It's true.
Greg, have you ever been in our magazine, LCD?
I have not been in the magazine, LCD. I have given a quiz in the past, and that is how we all came to...
Greg is super, super talented, so I don't think he'd really fit into your little magazine.
No, we have talented cartoonists, Andy.
Oh, you changed your policy?
Yeah.
I have gotten issues of LCD. I have not thought of a comic yet to submit, but I have.
Oh, Greg, Greg, if I can come up with a punchline or a comic, I'll call you and we can collaborate.
Happy to collaborate again.
I know.
A treat last time, it'll be a treat again.
Greg helped me with a pitch that I was putting together, if I recall.
What was that for, Andy?
For a failed idea that I couldn't sell, no one wanted.
A toy idea? Was it a toy company thing?
As I recall, it was a pitch for a movie. I think they loved the pitch, but they so hated the cartoons.
Yeah,
that
that's what I figured.
Yeah.
It's a wonder
you turned them off.
Yeah, it's a wonder you'd have me back in your circle, but I'll take it.
No, you're so talented. You were great. And you're easy to work with. Is there a website we can plug, by the way?
It's my name, myname.com. You want me to spell the whole name out?
Yeah, go ahead quickly. Sure.
It's GREGGSCHIGIEL.com.
I didn't know your name was that long when I invited you.
I know, it's a mess.
Oh, are you the Greg Schiegel who did the cartoon for Birth of a Nation Part 3?
I want to say yes and, but I don't know what that is, and the title scares me.
Because I know that Andy was very excited about that one.
You mean my project, Birth of a Nation?
Yeah.
Arthur, yes, there were so many unanswered questions in the original Birth of a Nation.
I think that was Andy's Pictionary friends worked on that one.
Yeah. Oh, they're great. They are so funny. I have their doodles just scotch taped to my walls.
I bet you do. Okay, so Greg,
my racist friends.
We're ready to begin because we only have 30 minutes, and we're already
let's go, go, go.
Seven and a half minutes.
Go, go, go. Here we go. You're keeping score, Ken?
Quickly.
I'm keeping score.
Okay. All right, here's the first question. The late, great Adam Schlesinger of Fountains of Wayne wrote and co-produced the Oscar-nominated one-hit wonder for a 1996 film about a 1960s pop band. Name that song, which is also the name of the movie, and the fictional band that performed it.
Oh, it was the Wonders. And
yes, I can
that thing that you
the
do.
The thing you do.
I got it.
Ding, 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 ding.
I got it.
Now, how technical are we? Because I think, Ken, you said that thing that you do.
Oh, I'm going to give it to me.
It's like, Ken, you're embarrassing yourself, that thing that you do.
That was a Tom Hanks project.
I love that song, and I didn't know that was a Fountains of Wayne connection.
Yes. Yeah, Adam Schlesinger, who is no longer with us, but he was the writer and producer on it. It did not win the Oscar. It lost to a song from Evita.
Oh,
okay, I'm not surprised, but I bet it earned more for him than any other composition in his life.
Probably.
Yeah, probably did.
And I'm glad, I don't know if he has a family or a widow, but I hope they're enjoying the benefits of that as well.
I would agree. I agree with that sentiment.
Yeah, he was a great, great songwriter.
He was. Any guesses on the theme yet?
Oh, music and movies.
Incorrect.
Oh.
No, Fountains of Tom Hanks vehicles.
Incorrect. All right, here's question two.
Okay.
In the world of the Muppets.
Wait. The first one of us that guesses the theme of this damn show should get a point. Okay, here we go. Okay.
All right. In the world of the Muppets, Animal is the drummer for what band who in the Muppet movie performed Can't You Picture That?
Oh, I think you better give
the
us
name
multiple.
Of the band. The name of the band that the Muppets that featured the Muppets in their
that
movies.
Animals, for which Animal is the drummer? Would you like multiple choice?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
your options are A, Dr. Teeth and the Electric Madness, B, Dr. Tooth and the Electric Madness, C, Dr. Tooth and the Electric Mayhem, or D, Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem?
First off, I love how you've constructed these questions and that multiple choice question. I'm going to say ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
And this is just a guess, but I would say Dr. Tooth and Madness, the Electric Madness.
That is incorrect.
I'm going to say the C with the Electric Mayhem.
Also incorrect. It is Dr. Teeth, plural, and the Electric Mayhem.
Ah.
Very clever. Very good.
Thank you.
And now,
well, you should actually work for the SAT company.
I still don't know the theme of the quiz.
Well, I think it might be.
Oh, I know. Fictitious bands.
Correct. It's fictitious bands.
I get a point. I get a point for that one.
Oh, I was going to say stupid fictitious bands. Okay, right, here we go.
The next question is a hard one, but maybe not. All right. I wrote and illustrated a graphic novel. In that graphic novel, several bands...
This is already the greatest question ever.
In that graphic novel, several bands or musical acts are mentioned. Among them, Van Dyke Brown, Alizarin Crimson, and Titanium White. From what long-running, potentially ASMR-inducing public television show did I get these names?
I think you better give us multiple choice.
No. Please read the names again.
Sure. The names of the fictitious bands that I wrote were in the book.
This is Greg. This is amazing. I wish all your questions were about Greg Siegel.
I thought about it.
That would be amazing. All right, go ahead. Read the names of the musical acts
are Van Dyke Brown, Alizarin Crimson, and Titanium White. All pulled from a long-running, potentially ASMR-inducing public television show.
A public television show that inspired those names.
Yes.
ASMR-inducing.
It must be a kid's show. Hold on. It must be like... Zoom or one of those kid shows.
Well, I think we need multiple choice.
I can give you multiple choice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is it A, This Old House with Bob Vila?
No.
B, Antiques Roadshow.
I was going to say that.
C, The Joy of Painting with Bob Ross. Or D, Lydia's Kitchen.
Buzz.
Right, you're going to say Joy of Painting.
No, Lydia's Kitchen.
Lydia's Kitchen is incorrect.
No, okay, ding, ding, ding. I'm going to say the painting, Joy of Painting.
Correct. It is the Joy of Painting.
Yeah, because it's an easy target. I know. I can read Greg like a book.
Those were colors on his palette.
Jeez.
Exactly.
And they all sounded like band
like
names.
Like bands, like prog bands, no less.
And so that was a question about a project that Greg himself had written.
Yes.
That's fantastic. That would be as if going on Jeopardy and three of the categories are about Alex Trebek and his life and his ex-wives and his childhood friends.
All right, the score heading into the fourth round is Andy 1 and me way more than that.
Hey, I wonder who's keeping score. Yeah, I wonder.
That's me. Yeah, that's me. I'm
exactly.
You might know this one, Andy.
Okay.
All right, number four. What fictional film folk group recorded a version of I Am a Man of Constant Sorrow in the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
The Soggy Mountain Boys. The Soggy Bottom Boys. Buzz, the Soggy Bottom Boys.
It is correct. The Soggy Bottom Boys.
That's right.
I get three.
I would not have... I saw the movie again recently, but I probably wouldn't have remembered the name of the band.
3 points.
God, those were great scenes.
Yeah.
God, those were great scenes.
That was a great movie.
Yeah.
Love that movie.
Yeah.
All right, y'all ready for the next one?
Yep. Question number five.
Question number five.
People, you know what people forget is how funny George Clooney can be.
He's a real prankster on set.
Well, yeah, if you listen to podcasts.
Have you been on set?
You learn a lot about George Clooney.
Have you ever run into him, Andy?
I don't think I've ever met George Clooney. I avoid people that are handsomer than me.
Yeah.
They make me feel, they intimidate me.
That's a good strategy.
I just run. I leave the room.
And how about John Turturro?
And that's why I so look forward to Wednesdays at WFMU.
Well, I was going to ask, apparently the star of your new show is incredibly handsome. So how do you manage that?
Oh, I've never been in the same room with him.
Okay.
Well, he's wearing that stocking mask I bought him.
That's only part of the reason why Andy's in Canada for 5 months. Wait, Pierre Trudeau, he's a hottie.
He is a hottie.
Justin Trudeau, which one is it these days?
This one is Justin.
Justin, right.
Justin is the son?
Yeah.
He's going out now with Katy Perry, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
According to the tabloids, yeah.
Do you remember when Linda Ronstadt was dating Governor Brown?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those were the days.
But it's kind of like that. It's kind of the equivalent, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Except Linda Ronstadt was way hotter.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I've become such a huge fan of hers just lately. I listen to her all the time now.
Linda Ronstadt or Katy Perry?
No, Linda Ronstadt. Linda Ronstadt could think of a note and then hit it. There was no note she couldn't think of and then not hit.
Huh?
She's just amazing to listen to.
I think most singers can do that.
Oh, that's not true at all.
Really?
Most singers have a very limited range. She could think of any note on any scale and then hit that note.
Yeah, I know you loved it when she did Pirates of Penzance.
I did. Yeah. I loved I watched that again recently.
Huh. Fascinating.
I've never seen it. You recommending it?
No, you wouldn't like it, okay. Greg.
I like the Sideshow Bob version.
It's pretty sophisticated.
Oh, I'm not a sophisticated. Wait till you hear this next question.
Okay.
You ready for a sophisticated question?
Yeah.
Well, now, I've never been more frightened in my life.
All right. In what TV series did we see episodes with the fictional singer-songwriter Chloe Blackburn, fictional band Trafalgar with lead singer Chris Ketter, and hip-hop artists Russell Murderous Croy and Extra Large?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes?
I'm going to say it's the Cameron Crowe series called Roadies.
That is incorrect.
Okay, I'll take the multiple choice.
All right, here are your options.
Wait, what's the one with that was sort of based loosely on Fleetwood Mac?
Oh, that was What's Her Name and the Six.
Oh, okay, that's not it. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Here we go.
Sure. Your optional. Your multiple choice: A. Saturday Night Live. B. Law and Order. C. ER, or D. Monk.
Oh, this is an embarrassment.
I'm going to say Law and Order.
I'm going to say Monk because it'll just be the most embarrassing thing.
The answer was D. Monk.
Wait, well, what are the names of the band?
Yeah, but you already took your guess, Andy.
I know. I'm not looking for a point. I'm just looking for a redemption.
No, I'll give you a
point.
What
were the names? Oh, you don't have to give me a point. I don't want your pity points.
You're getting
what
a pity
the name
player.
Of the band? What was the name of the bands again?
There was a singer-songwriter named Chloe Blackburn. A band.
What the hell?
A band called Trafalgar with lead singer Chris Ketter.
That's a good name for a band, Andy.
I have no idea.
Like a prog, like an art rock band, Trafalgar.
And then two hip-hop artists, one called Russell Murderous Croy and Extra Large.
Oh, wait, they must have been from the Snoop Dogg episode.
Correct, yes.
Oh, okay.
So, Andy, you probably wrote those names, right?
I probably did. Well, I had a great writing staff, but I can't remember who came up with the names, but that, I guess they sound like names that would abuse me.
Wow, Greg, yeah, that was a great question.
Thank you. That's a sophisticated question.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Specifically designed to embarrass your guest.
Well, I thought you might know that one.
I don't watch Mug. I don't watch Mug reruns. And even if I did, my memory's a sieve.
Well, for what it's worth, I used a Monk wiki to get those names.
Oh, okay, there you go.
If you're just tuning in, this is Well Dressed Fancy Dandies with Ken and Andy. And Greg Schiegel is our guest, and he's given us a quiz on fictitious bands. And hit us with question number six, Greg.
And wait, you should give us—you should give the score.
Oh, yeah, the score is Andy has two, but one of those is a pity point. And and I have a hell of a lot more than that.
If you really pitied me, I'd have eight pity points.
I don't pity you that much.
Exactly. All right, here we go.
All right, here we go. This one, number six. In an episode of The Jetsons, a songwriting contest nets Judy a date with teen idol Jet Screamer. What was the name of that song covered by the Violent Femmes on the 1995 album Saturday Morning Cartoons Greatest Hits?
Are you kidding?
Wow.
That you can't get more obscure.
I was hoping it was going to be Jet Screamer, because that I knew.
Oh, that you knew?
Yeah.
But you don't know the song. That's fascinating.
No.
Okay.
If there's a multiple choice, maybe Ken will recognize it.
Andy, you're going to love this multiple choice. Here we go. Option A. Ork, op, eep, ah, ah. B. Op, eep, ah, ork, ah. C. Ah, op, ork, eep, ah. Or D. Eep, op, ork, ah, ah.
Oh, man.
All I could think
I remember that song.
All I can think of is how much free time Greg has. All I can think of is how slow this month must have been.
It's A or D, but the last one was D, so I'm going to say A.
It is incorrect. And Andy, you are correct that I've had a lot of free time.
Yeah, duh.
All right, so Ken was wrong. Do you want to take a shot at this one, Andy?
Well, wait, is there a penalty if I'm wrong?
No. I can say Ken.
So I have a 1-in-3 shot. I'm going to say.
Hold on, I'll give you an extra help. Ken said
matter.
A or D, and he chose A and was wrong.
Okay, so I'm going to say D.
Correct.
Yeah, Greg was. Oh, Greg was just he was spoon feeding me a point.
Yeah, it's okay. Eep, op, ork, ah, ah is the ridiculous song from that episode.
You could do us all a favor and never repeat the name of that song again.
Happy to.
It's a great song. Great song. Yeah. We've played that song many times.
Yeah, we've heard what your definition of great song is, Ken.
All right, we're up to question number seven.
All right. What Marvel Comics mutant who first appeared in 1980 was originally conceived in 1979 is a multimedia collaboration between Marvel Comics and Casablanca Records in an attempt to capitalize on disco's popularity?
I guess that's a great question. I guess it is, not to me, but to some people, it's probably a great question.
I think it's a great question, but I do need multiple choice.
Sure. Your options are A, Dazzler, B, Rogue, C, Shadowcat, or D, Psylocke.
Oh, I'm pretty sure the answer is E, no one cares.
That's very possible.
Yeah. Probably literally no one in the Western world cares.
Dazzler, and give me the other names again.
Really, Ken?
Dazzler, Rogue, Shadowcat, Psylocke.
Well, it's got to be Shadowcat.
Yeah, I would also say Shadowcat.
You're both incorrect. It is Dazzler.
Oh!
Oh, brother.
Damn.
Nope. And how far did that collaboration get?
It was one, I think it was like one issue, but then Dazzler joined the X-Men, so became a much more popular character.
Has Dazzler ever appeared on screen?
I don't think so, but if she has, it was in a brief sort of background cameo thing.
I think by popular demand, she has never appeared on screen.
Well, I mean, she destroyed her septum with all that coke use.
Right.
So she's not much to look at.
Oh, hey. Poor Dazzler.
Hey, take that back about Dazzler.
I'm not. I speak truth.
No, seriously.
Truth. I'm speaking truth to disco.
There you go.
Seriously, you're talking about the woman I love.
All right, Greg, hit us with fictitious band question number eight.
All right, in Back to the Future, during the...
There we go. Chuck Berry.
Huey
Lewis. Power of Love.
Those are all real things.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we're looking for fake bands, Andy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Back to the Future, during the Enchantment Under the Sea dance in 1955, Marty McFly...
Yes.
Yeah, Marty
what
McFly
was the name
subs
of the band?
In. Yeah, subs in on guitar for Marvin Berry's band called Marvin Berry and the What?
Okay,
no, no
great
idea.
Question.
I never saw
no,
the
wait,
movie.
Wait, great question. If there's multiple choice options, I will get this.
There is multiple choice. You've never seen the movie Back to the Future, Ken?
Never have. Seen that only is, only bits and pieces of it.
That is an actual shame. That is my favorite movie of all time.
Wow.
I don't blame you. It's a masterpiece.
Yeah. All right, here are your options. A, Marvin Berry and the Faders.
No.
B, Marvin Berry and the Clock Watchers.
No.
C, Marvin Berry and the Starlighters.
Bingo.
That's your guess? You don't want to hear the
yes.
fourth one?
No, I don't need it.
All right, that is correct. Starlighters.
Yeah, I know. Oh, my God, it was a great scene.
All right,
oh
another God, another point for Andy. Andy has 4 to my 7.
I know that was a good movie because every time I watch it, I'm consumed with jealousy.
It's a great one.
All right, we only have a couple of minutes left, so give us number 9, Greg.
Number 9, on Parks and Recreation, Ron Swanson secretly performs saxophone under what name to a very passionate fan base of middle-aged women?
I have seen a lot of that series, but I don't recall this. But maybe if you give me multiple choice.
Ben, do you want multiple choice?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Does Ron Swanson perform as A, John Swansong, B, Duke Silver, C, Dewey Cox, or D, Ted Danson?
What was number 2 again?
Duke Silver.
We can eliminate Dewey Cox.
I'm going to say Duke Silver.
I'm going to say Ted Danson. That's the funniest answer.
That is pretty funny. You're right.
Thank you. It is indeed Duke Silver, and you're right. Dewey Cox was an answer to another question that I did not include.
That was a great. That was a great fictional music film.
I agree. It was on my. I wrote 24 questions, so I narrowed it down to these.
Well, these are all great, and we so appreciate it. And why don't we say, Ken, just for argument's sake, just to make it dramatic, that we're tied.
Well, we're at question number 10, Andy.
Yeah, why don't we say we're tied?
Well, the score is 8-4.
I'll say question 10 is an opportunity to win a lot of points.
Yeah.
Why don't we say this question is worth 5 points?
Yeah, that way you could win.
Okay.
Yeah, this question has five and a half parts to it. So,
dear God, here we go.
Okay, here we go. Based on the music video for Sugar Sugar.
Oh, no.
What instrument does each member of the Archies play?
Oh.
Great question. No. Great question.
Gosh.
Great question. Here
so
we go.
Members,
I can hold on.
So the member. Do you want to know the members, or do you want to just?
Well, it would be Betty, Veronica, Reggie, Jughead, and Archie. It's a 5-piece.
Correct.
Okay. Jughead must play the drums.
Correct.
Okay. Archie must be the lead singer.
They all play,
not
an
play
instrument.
An instrument.
They all play an instrument. There are 5 instruments.
Well, then he's on rhythm guitar, I guess. Archie.
Correct.
Okay. Reggie feels like he's playing bass.
Correct.
Okay, so now we're down to Betty and Veronica.
Yeah.
Okay, somebody has a tambourine.
a tambourine.
And somebody's playing keyboards.
Also
it's,
true.
It's like Fleetwood
okay,
Mac.
So
Andy.
we have a 50-50 shot here. I'm going to say Betty's on tambourine and Veronica's on keyboards.
Andy Breckman, you completed all 5 perfectly.
Wow. Oh my God, Andy pulls it out.
That's how you.
And
now,
Andy
now, like a Here's an interesting question for both of you. Why am I so proud of that?
I mean, do you
that,
want to,
that
want
was
to have it?
That was pretty amazing, Andy.
Why would any adult be proud of knowing that?
It was incredible, and the only way you could top it is if you could tell me what hot dog Jughead's dog was doing in the video.
Oh.
Jughead's dog?
Yeah.
Oh, that was the name of hot dog. That was the name of his dog.
Yeah.
I can only imagine doing the twist in the background. I can't imagine.
He has a baton, and he's playing conductor.
Aww.
Oh, that's so funny.
Hey, guys, we are out of time. Greg, thank you so much. Yeah.
Oh, my
thank
God,
you
Greg. You're our hero, and we so appreciate it. And please come up with another one. This is a funny joke I'm about to make. Greg, if you have any spare time in the next few weeks, Please come up with another quiz.
Happy to. And after listening to yesterday's show, which I don't know when this will come out, but the show I listened to yesterday, I will leave by saying I have another call.
Yes.
That's well done, Greg.
That's how we end our call.
Greg's nailing it. Thank you, Greg.
Talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, you guys.
Brother.
You're the best.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, listener Greg Siegel, for that great quiz. And once again, we are looking for more listeners to give us quizzes. We just need half an hour of your time over Zoom and 10 questions. Email me if you're interested. Do not email me the questions. Just email me the fact that you're interested and available at ken@wfmu.org. And here is our second quiz of the evening, this one with listener Evan. It's another listener quiz, this week with Evan Cutler and our celebrity scorekeeper, Alex Bernzweig. Welcome, Evan and Alex.
Hey there.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Evan, this is really going to be a treat. The topic is our local birds. Is that right? Birds that
not just
from
local.
New Jersey?
These are birds okay. All over North America, but with specifically in the listener area. So the Jersey City, North Jersey area.
And this is a passion project of yours. This is a hobby of yours.
Lifelong hobby. I started when I was 10 years old.
How much fun you must be to hang out with. You must be invited to so many parties.
No. but it is since COVID, it has become like insanely popular. And in fact, at this point now, it's sort of like, I feel it's too popular. Our last Montclair Bird Club walk on Wednesday, we had 30 people, which was sort of too many.
Too many. And really, what percentage of them just don't belong there, had no idea what the hell they were doing?
A few just wandered right in.
Yeah, the answer is 6 out of 30. 6 out of 30 just should be banned, I think, my opinion.
What's the ideal number, Evan, for a birder outing?
12.
Well, it depends. We did a WFMU bird walk in the Meadowlands with DJ Trouble and her listeners, and we had 60. So thankfully, I brought along a couple of friends with me, and we each took a third of them. So it was manageable.
That would be a fun activity for us, Ken.
A birding outing in the Meadowlands?
A birding outing in the Meadowlands. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to make it, but it sounds like you would have a great time.
Okay.
Well, that was hard because of the hum of the turnpike right nearby made the sounds not easy. But this will be, I guarantee you, the audio quality of this quiz that we're about to do will be much better.
Oh, yeah. And that was on top of an old potter's field right there off the New Jersey Turnpike.
Perhaps the most toxic area of land in all of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of area is New Jersey for birding? Is it optimal? Is it good?
It's one of the best places in the country for birding. In fact, the World Series of Birding takes place in New Jersey every year. I've competed 5 years.
What the hell goes on at the World Series of Birding?
You don't want to know, Ken. You don't want to know.
It's a 24-hour marathon from midnight to midnight where some of the best birders in the country come together and you see how many different species of birds you can see in 24 hours.
Wow.
And I actually did it 1 year with Steve Carell from The Daily Show.
Oh,
and what
very
is,
cool.
What was your high number in 24 hours?
I'm nowhere near the top teams get around 220. I'm usually around like the 130 mark, 140.
And it's all honor system, right?
Complete honor system. So there's a lot of cheating.
Wait a minute. Complete honor system. When is the next event? No, I could compete in that.
Yeah, Andy does
great, Andy.
Andy does great at honor system contests.
I've never lost a contest which is based on the honor system. Never once.
All right. So anyway, Alex is going to be the official scorekeeper. Mm-hmm. And Alex and I together.
Tell us, are you a birder as well, Alex?
I am, correct. I've been doing it since I was maybe 4 or 5 years old.
That was just 5 years before you discovered our show, isn't it?
Exactly. Yep, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
what a traumatic childhood you're describing.
No, it's
and
fantastic.
Alex is, not to brag, but Alex is the former vice president of the Montclair Bird Club. And I'm the current president. And we're celebrating our 106-year anniversary. This is the oldest bird clubs in the country.
We are honored. And is there a website that you can plug if people are curious about the club?
MontclairBirdClub.org, or you can go to our Facebook group.
Oh my gosh! Well, you guys are fun guys. I'm already having fun hanging with you. It'll be great. I would love to come. I would love to come.
Every Wednesday morning, you're welcome to come. Wednesday morning, 8 a.m. at Garrett Mountain at the Boathouse, year round.
I would love to come and disrupt your.
Wait a second, Evan. Are you saying that I'm on the air during the weekly meeting? I'm on the air from 9 a.m. to noon.
Yeah.
Your part of my ritual is when I come back from birding, I listen to your show.
So it's really it's a win-win for the Bird Club because they get to see some interesting birds and they miss Ken Friedman.
And they miss the hippie music.
And they miss all the hippie music. Yeah, that's part of the appeal, Ken.
Well, I'm going to start playing more bird music to appeal to the birders who are in their cars.
To lure them.
Yeah.
To lure them back. Evan and Alex have discussed this between themselves, and they have a proposal to make about scorekeeping.
Okay.
Yep. You each get, I'm going to play a bird call or a song. Uh-huh. You guys each choose, it'll be multiple choice. You choose which bird you think it is, and then you get 1 point for every correct answer.
Excellent. And 10 rounds.
And are we digging in? Are we digging in to try to ding in first?
I don't think it's a question of first. I think you each just make your choice. I think, you know, it's
pretty. Okay.
And if, you know, obviously guess if you don't know what bird it is.
So we can both win, potentially.
Yeah, you can both win. You can both get. There's a few that are fairly easy, I think, that you'll both get. But I made this fairly challenging.
And I'll be able to tell just from how you read off the multiple choice list which one is the correct answer. Oh. I can just tell by the inflection in your voice. I'm very good at that.
We'll see.
We'll see.
All right. Are we ready to start?
We are.
Yes.
Okay.
I've never been more excited in my life.
All right. This first bird is considered perhaps the smartest bird in North America. It can use tools like sticks for digging and is also the name of a professional sports team. And here we go. Here is
That's what bird. Makes it smart. It can use sticks. I've been using sticks since I was three.
Now, is it a Baltimore Oriole, a common raven, or a peregrine falcon?
Raven.
Falcon.
The answer is raven.
1 point for me.
Wait, did you know, Ken, did you know from the sound it made, from the bird call?
Yes, because I'm familiar with Hester's crow calling record, which gets played periodically on WFMU.
Oh, God.
So I knew it was, what is it called, a corbis? I knew it was some kind of corbis.
Corbett. So, yes. Right, Alex Corbett?
Yeah, correct. That's part of the corvid family, ravens, crows, and jays. Yes.
Yeah, so I was waiting for it to be a crow, but he didn't say crow, but he said raven. So I
would have guessed that listening to WFMU would come in?
Hester's crow calling record. Do you know that record, Evan and Alex?
I've never, sadly, never heard of it. Sorry.
Sorry, no.
No, that's why they schedule all their meetings, Ken, to avoid our shows. But I thought it was a falcon because I assumed falcons were the smartest of the birds, or one of them.
Oh, no. Corvids are very smart.
Oh, shut up.
All right, let's go on to corvids. Question number two.
Don't get Ken started on corvids.
All right, question number two. This bird created a bit of a scandal in the golf world in 2000 when viewers watching the Buick Open in Michigan heard the songbird's distinctive song. Now, this bird is normally found no further east than Texas, which would have been a huge deal if this bird was actually singing on the golf course. But turns out CBS was actually sweetening the broadcast with pre-recorded bird songs. Is it a canyon wren, a sedge wren, or a Buick wren?
How would we?
The third kind was a Buick wren?
A Buick wren.
Possibly no. Wait, and your clue is that CBS erroneously played this in the background during the.
Well, they didn't erroneously. They were trying to trick the viewers into thinking that this bird was part of the ambiance of what would be the experience of seeing the Buick Open.
And you and Alex and three other nerds. Recognize that it was a mistake.
Oh, CBS was getting calls like from people in a panic, ready to jump on a plane to get a canyon wren in Michigan for their Michigan list.
Okay, it was a canyon wren.
Canyon wren.
Oh no!
We both win.
I give them both a point.
Give them both a point and deduct a point for me.
Evan loses one. Yes.
No, that's my new strategy. Just get Evan to babble. Just get him to babble long enough.
Oh, boy. All right. Number three. This bird.
I have a new strategy.
This bird is very common.
Just get Evan drunk.
This bird is very common in suburban backyards, especially in New Jersey. In spring, you often hear them singing throughout the night. They're gray with white wing bars, and they're also very aggressive and will attack anything they consider a threat, even their own reflection on a hubcap or a window. All right. Is it a northern mockingbird?
Who would
know this? A gray catbird or a brown thrasher?
Oh, God.
Brown thrasher.
Based on what, Ken? What is that bet? What is that guess based on?
It's aggressive. It thrashes. And it's not a mockingbird, because I know what a mockingbird sounds like.
Okay, is it a thrasher? I'll say
catbird, thrasher, or mockingbird.
I'll say catbird, just to be ornery.
All right, Alex?
It was indeed a northern mockingbird.
Ah! Wow.
Well, hey, that was a historic moment. That was last time I listened to Ken Friedman.
And why, for a bonus point, why are they called mockingbirds?
Because they imitate what they hear. They mock it. Is that right?
The correct answer is why not?
Yeah, that is correct. You get the bonus point for that. They'll imitate car alarms, ringtones. There's even a record of one of them imitating the sound you hear when you turn on Microsoft Windows.
Wow, they're like lyre birds in that way.
They're really neat birds.
Yeah, I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it imitating anything. So I thought it was a wild thrasher.
Nope, mockingbird, northern mockingbird. Okay, next bird nests on cliffs, spends a great deal of its life offshore, and is known for its colorful beak, in which it can hold more than 20 fish at a time. All right.
A pelican.
Is it?
There's your pelican.
An Atlantic puffin.
Oh.
A rhinoceros auklet, or a brown pelican.
Well, Andy already guessed pelican, so I'm going to go with auklet.
Alex?
No, this was an Atlantic puffin.
A puffin? I thought puffins were tiny.
Well, they are tiny, but Evan, go ahead. Did you say?
Well, the fish that they're holding, their fish that they're holding in their gullet must also be tiny.
Yeah, they're like little fish.
They catch very small fish.
A fun fact about the puffin, they're served in restaurants in Iceland.
Hey, just a little advice. This is life advice for you going forward, Evan. Be very, very careful by prefacing a statement with fun fact, with that phrase, okay? Because you're making a promise that you can't always keep, okay?
All right, this next bird is a member of the blackbird and oriole family. It has a brown head and a black body, okay? Is it?
It's so funny that we're listening as if it's helping us.
A brown cowbird?
Yeah.
A rusty blackbird?
Oh, for the love of God.
Or an orchard oriole?
For the love of God. Based on what? What is this based on?
Your bird knowledge, Andy.
Okay. No, I'm going to base it just on how his expression changed as he read off that list.
Okay.
Cowbird, blackbird, or oriole?
Oriole.
Cowbird.
Ken? Cowbird is correct. Oh, I'm sorry, Alex, say it.
It was correct, yes. Brown-headed cowbird, that's right. Yeah.
And what makes the cowbird so unusual is they don't raise their own young. They'll actually lay their eggs in the nests of other birds and let those birds raise the young.
Wow. And then when did they...
Let me commend you, Evan, for not prefacing that statement with fun fact.
I learned from you. I'm no longer going to hear the words good. Fun
you
fact.
You have to
out
be very,
mouth.
Very selective about using that
phrase. But Evan, how do they reclaim their young after another bird has raised it?
Well, the young will kick the other birds out of the nest and get all the food from the mom themselves. And then when they get old enough, they just take off, and then they find the rest of the other cowbirds and then just get on with their lives.
And why are they called cowbirds, Evan?
Alex?
Presumably because they would often follow cattle flocks across the Midwest. Well, not just the Midwest. They're in the eastern U.S. too, but across like open pastures and things they would follow. They follow cows because they kick up bugs and things like that.
And that's why cowbirds are called cowbirds. They follow cows.
Thank you, Andy.
So you should preface that statement with obvious, uninteresting fact.
That was kind of a fun fact. All right.
No, it was. Yeah, it was. Okay, I'll give you that. It was kind of a fun fact.
All right. Our next bird.
I'll give you that.
All right, our next bird is very elusive. It can be found throughout the swamps in Jersey, like the Meadowlands or the Great Swamp, which is near Andy's home.
Yes.
I'm sure, Andy, you've birded there before.
And I've gone collecting maple syrup there.
Yeah, and they're known for their incredible camouflage skills. Okay, I'm going to start playing the bird. Is it a snowy egret, a great blue heron, or an American bittern?
Oh, please play it again. No, please play the sound of the bird again.
I'm going to say a great blue heron.
Was one of the choices a leaky faucet bird?
No, but that's close. That's what they sound like.
They do.
Bittern, heron, or egret?
I'm going to say heron, just because I have no idea.
Because that's what I said, Andy.
Yeah.
It was the American bittern.
A bittern?
Sorry.
Bittern, now, Alex, would you have known that without talking to Evan before our show?
I would have, yes. Yeah.
Before you came on, Alex, Evan was bragging about your talent at identifying birds.
It was probably overblown a little bit, but I appreciate it, though.
Now, have you competed in these annual contests as well?
A few times, I have. Yeah.
Have you ever broken 250?
No, I have not personally. It's very difficult to even breaking 200 is fairly difficult.
Well, you've never seen me compete in a contest based on the honor system.
That's true.
I will dazzle you.
I'm looking forward to it. I'd like to, yeah.
Yeah, I won't even show up, and I'm going to win.
Well, one year I was competing in the World Series, and we were in Troy Meadows off of 287, and I heard a Virginia rail. So we started mimicking the Virginia rail, hoping to get closer, and all of a sudden we see another team competing, and they were doing the same thing. It turns out we were each mimicking the Virginia rail. So a lot of people count birds that they never actually saw, but thought they were a bird, and turns out there was another team.
And it was a couple of guys 20 yards away making that bird noise.
Exactly.
And did they get a point?
No, we all realized that there was no Virginia rail there.
So how do you confirm?
It's all the honor system.
But Ken, that story was just a taste of the kind of fun they have
at the World Series. Absolutely.
Yes, that's right. Just a sample. That's
The higher up you get, I bet the dudes who get over 200 points, I bet they're not so much fun.
They're not. I mean, I'm not to talk out of school, but Alex, I'm sure you could agree. These guys are like, you know, sometimes take it a little.
Yeah, they're nerds.
They're in it,
right, Evan? Right, Alex? They're nerds.
They're in it for the money. They're not in it for the birds.
They're in it for the girls.
Yeah. The party's in their room at the Ramada Inn.
All right, this next bird shares the same name as an alcoholic beverage, and this is not a multiple choice here. Whichever you guys gets it first gets the point. Ready?
Yeah.
Turkey. Wild turkey.
That's bingo.
Wait, I didn't guess yet. Is it bingo?
No,
I
heard
say bingo. I assume that was the right answer.
Wild turkey, which by the way, wild turkeys are really strong flyers. The gobbler is very territorial during mating season, and they will actually attack cars if they think that someone's a threat to the What are the females called, Alex?
Hey, we stumped Alex.
You stumped me.
Yeah, I forget.
Is it not a hen? I can't remember.
Honestly, I guess the hens. Yeah, they're hens.
But why do wild turkeys circle? I've seen videos of wild turkeys circling like a deer carcass, but then I saw a video of wild turkeys circling like a telephone pole. Why do they do that?
That's interesting.
I don't know that.
Hey, could you answer me? Or could you answer this question? Why do vultures circle WFMU? I see them all the time.
only right before marathon, marathon when you know the bank account is low.
It's how I often find the station. I don't use GPS.
Oh, it's a surefire way.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I put all the carcasses on the roof so that volunteers can find the station.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, half the carcasses are the volunteers.
All right. The next bird is a member of the grouse family. And here's a good clue. And I hope it doesn't give it away. It's the only grouse in the world in which the male regularly helps the raise the young. Okay.
Yes. I hope that didn't give it away.
Wow.
Is it a willow ptarmigan, a ruff grouse, or a northern bobwhite?
Play that sounding.
The mentally challenged Bob White.
That's a great call.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's also the state. I'll give you one more hint. It's the state bird of Alaska.
Give me the choices again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, willow ptarmigan, ruff grouse, or northern bobwhite?
Well, northern bobwhite. I'm just going with the word northern and the word Alaska.
Ruff grouse.
Alex?
It was the willow ptarmigan. Sorry.
Oh. Damn.
I believe Alex really is sorry that we didn't get
it. I am.
I believe he genuinely is sorry. He's a sweetheart.
I want everyone to have more points.
The next bird is nocturnal and can often be found in wet areas like bogs and swamps and streams. And you can remember their call because it sounds like, who cooks for you? All right?
Okay.
Is it a screech owl, a barred owl, or a great horned owl?
Wow, that's a real owl. Wow, that sounds great. I'll say great horned owl.
I'll say a screech owl.
Alex?
It was the barn owl.
Oh, the barn owl. When you said nocturnal and can be found in bogs and swamps, I would have guessed any number of FMU DJs.
All right. Now, speaking of nocturnal, this bird can often be heard late in the evening hours and on lakes, especially in the north.
Loons! It's a loon!
Well done, Andy.
Loon.
And they can dive up to 200 feet to catch fish.
That's a loon.
It's a loon, baby.
It's a loon. Let's hear the loon.
And you guys are both correct.
Wait, is that really? Wait.
Yeah, that's a loon.
Okay, I'm taking 3 points.
No, you don't get three.
I got that before the question was finished.
And this isn't a fun fact, but it is an interesting fact. They can only take off.
No, be very, very careful, Evan. That's even more dangerous than saying fun fact.
They need a long runway.
You're making a real promise.
30 yards to a quarter mile of water to gain enough momentum to take off. And sometimes they'll mistake a wet parking lot or a wet highway for water and will actually land on the asphalt and die.
Why do they die?
30 miles away from an interesting.
Because they're landing on asphalt. Imagine if you're going from high in the air, migrating at night, and then they land going as fast as they go.
Oh, they just dive straight into the asphalt?
Yeah, they think they're landing on water, but they're landing on asphalt.
Oh. Maybe they should land in a more level way, like a duck.
You finally told a fun fact, and you didn't even introduce it.
I buried the fun fact. All right, this bird is also the name
of a...
buried
the fun fact.
Wait, let's not move on from loons yet. How far south do loons go?
Alex?
As far as, like, where they breed, I'd have to look at a map, but not much further south than we are.
Yeah, I've had them in North Jersey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We see them flying over Montclair all the time, but they usually nest much further north than here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they migrate through New Jersey, and they'll overwinter off the ocean, off
Alex,
the Jersey
do you,
shore
do
as
you
well.
Agree, do you agree that New Jersey is prime viewing area for birds?
It's very good, yeah. I would say so. I mean, being coastal, we get a lot of things migrating through, and we have some good breeding areas in the northern half of the state. And
well,
good
what area in North America could top it? What is your dream area to top it?
I mean, I like birding in South Texas and Southern Arizona, and Alaska is very nice too. There's lots of, you know, it's a really interesting hobby, and there's lots of different ways that you can approach it and different things to see. So it's there's a whole lot of good places, but those are probably my three favorites.
But New Jersey is great because it's a small state and you have a little bit of everything. You have beaches, you have meadows, you have, you know, mountains, you have a little bit of everything.
Correct, yeah. And a lot of people who are looking for things and find interesting stuff.
I wish I was interesting.
All right. So this next bird, and this is, again, whoever gets it first, is also the name of a W FMU DJ.
Is that
that's a
North American?
It's a pigeon.
Is that a North American?
It's a
yes.
It's a pigeon. It's a clay pigeon.
Exactly.
I was going to say North American Irwin.
Well, that was funnier, Andy. Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Our next bird likes to eat dead things, and if threatened, can projectile vomit on cue.
A vulture, turkey buzzard.
And that's the vomiting. Is it?
That's the sound of the bird, turkey buzzard.
California condor or crested caracara?
It's a turkey buzzard.
Andy?
I will say a California condor, I would guess. By the way, as an interesting fact, California condors taste just like chicken.
Alex, the answer is?
It is turkey vulture.
Oh.
Turkey buzzards and black vultures are different, right? Those are two different.
Correct. They're different species. Yep. Yeah.
But they both projectile vomit.
I believe so. Definitely the turkey vultures do. I'm not entirely sure about black vultures, but they both eat carrion, obviously, and they
Then they vomit all over themselves,
or they defecate on themselves as well, onto their legs,
in order to keep Andy Breckman away.
Exactly.
If that was the clue, I would have guessed Irwin again.
And you'll often see them soaring over the highways when you're driving, and that's because they're just looking for roadkill. They could smell and see dead animals up to a mile away.
Wow.
Not a fun fact.
Yeah, I love the vultures.
That's tantalizingly close to a fun fact.
All right. This is our last question. Ready?
Yep.
Okay.
This is a type of flycatcher.
Wait, can we say that the score is tied and that this is the tiebreaker?
No.
Wait, do you think you're winning?
I think so.
Alex.
You have to ask Alex.
Score?
Should we do a score now or should we wait till be a surprise for the end?
Score now.
Score now. Okay. It is currently eight. It's either 8-2 or 8-5 if we give Andy the 3 bonus points that he claimed earlier.
No, he can't claim points for himself.
Okay.
Don't I get 5 pity points?
No.
My father died. My father died when I was in high school.
It's 8-2, which means the last question is worth 10 points.
Pancreatic cancer. Wow.
All right. This bird is a type of flycatcher. It's found in our area, and it nests under bridges, and it's named after its call. Okay? All right. Is it an eastern wood peewee, an eastern phoebe, or a willow flycatcher?
Well, it's named after its call. It's phoebe, eastern phoebe. Is my guess, because it sounds like he's saying Phoebe.
It does sound like it's saying Phoebe.
Phoebe, peewee, or flycatcher?
Or maybe he's saying peewee. Wait, let me hear it again. Well, I could talk myself into any of these. Well, I know he's not saying flycatcher.
All right, I'll play
unless
one more
he's
time.
Mispronouncing it.
Phoebe, peewee, or willow flycatcher?
What's it going to be, Andy? Phoebe or peewee?
Well, maybe he's saying Phoebe. Oh, I don't know. What do you think he's saying, Kenny?
Well, it's your game to win. I'm not going to guess.
All right, I'll say Phoebe.
Alex?
So Ken doesn't guess on this one?
I'm not guessing.
It doesn't matter.
Phoebe was correct.
Oh, Phoebe!
Oh my God, Andy wins again.
Well, what do I win?
Pulling it out, you win a special guest appearance at the World Championship of Birding,
the World Series of Birding.
You have to promise me that it's on while Ken's show is airing.
Oh, and one fun fact about the Eastern Phoebe: they'll do several broods, and the children from the first broods will actually stick around and help raise the young of the next broods.
Oh, it's like professional basketball.
Well, okay. Evan and Alex, thank you so much. We are out of time.
Yeah, this was amazing.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
This
and
was
I
fun.
Learned I learned a lot, and for that I will never forgive you.
Thank you.
I had a good time and I if you want more information, montclairbirdclub.org.
Thank you, Evan and Alex.
7 second delay is no more.
And that was tonight's new quizzes from listeners Evan Cutler and Greg Schiegel. And if you would like to give us a quiz, all we need is half an hour of your time over Zoom and 10 questions to express your interest in giving us a quiz on any arcane topic. Please email me at ken@wfmu.org. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Congratulations again to the Marcus Brody Trio for being the new theme masters of Well-Dressed Fancy Dandies. Stay tuned for 21 Lounge with Don Fleming.
Call us lucky, you and I. Lucky girl, lucky guy. And when I hold your hand or touch your cheek, I know I'm a lifetime lucky streak. A lucky rainbow lights the sky. When we kiss, when we sigh, they call me lucky, Mr. Lucky Guy. And you're the reason why. Evening, chillin'. This is Don Hayes from the Mark 2100 21 Lounge right on the ocean in Fort Lauderdale. We have a nice little group here tonight, and we're going to give you a rendition of what we do every night.
Well, folks, we come to one of the highlights of our program. I think this young fella has a super voice. I think you'll agree with me after you've heard him. Get together, please, and say hello to this young fella all the way from Bunny, Scotland. Ladies and gentlemen, Scotty Stevens.
Any of you fellas out there get any ideas?
But when the night is calling, hear, hear the pipes are calling loudly and proudly calling down through the glen. There where the hills are sleeping now, feel the blood a-leaping high as the spirit showed the old Highland man. Oh, ring and gallant fame, Scotland, my mountain hymn, high may your proud banners gloriously wave. Land o' my high endeavor, land o' the Shane and Drever, land of my head forever, Scotland the brave. What is a Scotsman wear under his kilt?
Scotch tape.
High in the misty Highlands, awed by the purple islands, brave are the hearts that beat beneath the Scottish skies. Wild are the winds to meet you, staunch are the friends who greet you, kind is the love that shines from fair maiden's eyes. Oh, ring and gallant fame, Scotland, the mountain hymn, high be your proud banners gloriously wave. Land o' my high endeavour, land o' the shining river, land ahead forever, Scotland the brave.
Can you tell me something? How come all you Americans drive on the wrong side of the road? You know, I can't get out of the habit of driving on the British side. I live up in Salem, New Hampshire, up around the New England states right now. Yes. And you know, there's one spot in New England that I'd love to go to. It's Cape Cod. One of my favorite spots. But for me to get to Cape Cod from New Hampshire, I have to drive around a very dangerous expressway called the Southeast Expressway. Yes. I can never get on the right side. My luck, the last time I was driving down there, I was stopped by a big Irish trooper. He says, "Now, where do you think you're going?" I says, "I know where I'm going. There's those other nuts you want to grab hold of." He says, "Oh, I can see we've got a foreigner here." He says, "Where do you come from, foreigner?" I says, "I come from Scotland." He says, "Well, look," he says, "when you're in Scotland, you can drive on this side of the road. But, buddy, when you're in America, you're going to have to do as the Americans do." So I give him $10 and he let me go.
Never come again.